Today I'm going to talk about variational problems and microstructure. The motivation behind this model is the study of DNA molecule. In the last several or three decades, the DNA molecule has attracted attention, and the deformation of DNA molecule has been studied at different scales in time and space. For example, we can study DNA molecules as a system of atoms, big system of atoms, or we can study it as an elastic rod, which then we have to reduce the degrees of freedom and we consider just a continuous model. In between, there are systems of rigid bodies and etc. And I would not talk about this rigid body here, but there is now some interest in passing from the atomistic to the elastic or to the continuum model. For example, now let me tell you what's the problem with studying the whole system of atomistic system is that, for example, to study DNA molecule of 10 base pair length, we know that from the model of Watson and Crick, which was introduced in 1953, that the DNA is composed of two strands, and between the strands there are bases which connect the two strands. And for example, the length scale between one turn of the DNA is 3.4 angstrom. So if we study a system of 10 base pair, which is not too much if we consider the continuum model, and on the state-of-the-art computers, we need months of computation to just compute some nanoseconds of real-time simulations. So it's hopeless to study DNA molecule of different of big lengths with the atomistic system. So we need to study to use the for example the molecular dynamics to study DNA at short length scales, and then we get some parameters that we can pass to the continuum model. Now, the DNA is a double helix, and its biological functioning depends on the fact that it is a double helix. And for example, now the elastic rod model that has been used for the last three decades cannot model phenomena such as DNA opening or which is needed in the DNA replication and other biological functions of the DNA. So the objective of this work is to model DNA not as a single stranded rod, but as a double stranded rod. And if we have a procedure to pass from the atomistic level to the continuum level with one strand, we have the same machinery to do it with two strands. And so let me start with this is just a motivation of this work. But I will not talk about DNA for the end of the talk. So, as I said, we need to model rods with two strands. Here are two strands of the rod. One is blue and the other one is red. And what you see in the middle with the yellow color is the average structure, or a rod that is average it between these two rods, and the green part is some is what it is in the DNA model, the bases which gives elastic bound between the two strands. So we'll take as a configuration, we take the double-stranded rod as a rod composed of two strands. Each of them is an elastic rod, like a Cosserat rod. And each rod is completely described by the position by the center line of this curve. For example, let's see the blue curve. The blue rod has a center line of, and each at each point, for example, if we choose a parameterization S, then we have a position vector which gives this position according from a reference point. And also we need to track track the orientation of the cross section at that arc length S. So for each rod we need a position vector as a function of S, which is arc length, and a director of frames which gives me the orientation of the cross section at the arc length S. So which are noted here, DI plus or minus. We'll see the notation why we use plus or minus, and for the center lines we have R plus and minus. Here is a schematic of this configuration. So here we have the two strands, and this is the middle or the averaged structure. This is R plus and R minus are the position from a reference point, and the triad D1, D2, D3 plus and minus are the which gives the orientation of the cross section at this point from the reference reference triad. Now we are going to average this in a way that this the average center line is, in the usual sense, the average of the two strands of the position vector of at R plus and the position vector at the negative strand. And the we have also to average the orientation of the two cross sections. And these are given by the average of the rotation which goes from the plus strand to the minus strand is the rotation P, which so the average is D1, D2, D3 in such a way that going from D1, D2, D3 to D1 plus D2 plus D3 plus, we need to make a rotation P, and it, to go to the negative strand, we need to apply the transpose of that rotation tensor. And this is what is called the geometric mean of the rotation tensor R plus and R minus. So it's because the rotation does not lie on a linear space, it's rather on a manifold, so it's the usual average does not belong usually to the space, and with this we are guaranteed that the average orientation does always stay in the configuration space. So here is the relation to go from the plus and minus to the averaged structure. To describe the rod, we need to to describe the configuration of the rods, we need to give definition to some measure of departure from the intrinsic or unloaded shape or unloaded state. So with there are strains or measures that give the departure from the unloaded state are strains that are related to the center line and strains that are related to the orientation. For the strain that are related to the center lines, we usually take the S derivative of the position vector. So for the averaged structure we have RS, and for each of the strands we use R plus S and R minus S, and there is a relation between these two averaged these two strains, between the strains of the strands and the strains of the averaged structure, and this is W is the vector which gives the relative displacement from the average strand to the plus or minus strand. Similarly, we do the same. We have the strains related to the orientation. And so since the orientation we can represent as a rotation tensor, as is done here, R, R plus, R minus, and these are our rotation tensors. The derivative of this rotation tensor times RT is a skew symmetric tensor. So we define these strains to be U and U plus, U minus. Let me give some physical interpretation of these U's and V's. So, sorry, the V's are measure some extension and shearing of the of the center line, and the U's measures bending and twisting of the rod. The notation here is U cross is the skew symmetric tensor with axial vector U. Now, for the strains related to the center line, the relation between the strains of the macrostructure or the strands and the strains related to the average structure are easy. But for the when we are dealing with quantities in a Lie group or manifold, it is not that easy to get such a relation. And we know that the rotation group or SO3 is a three-dimensional manifold, and we cannot find a global parameterization of this, and there are many parameterizations. And here I choose the parameterization that gives when we are dealing with derivatives, gives a compact formula, and I choose to use the Gibbs vector, which is if I have a rotation tensor, it has an angle theta and an axis of rotation, and the Gibbs vector is equal to the axis, the unit axis, times the tangent theta over 2, which is, you can see that it is really related to the unit quaternions used also to represent rotation tensors. We have this relation between the strains of the strands and the strains of the average structure, plus the eta, which is the angle of rotation of the rotation tensor P, which goes from the orientation of the cross section at the average section, average structure to the rotation tensor of the strands. Similarly, we can do the same thing with time. So we did this with space. Now we do the same thing with time, and we get the same quantities, similar quantities. And here I will open a parenthesis. Here is the convective derivative of it's not the time derivative, it's the convective derivative with respect to the frame on the average structure. Now for this rod we have two views. Either we consider our rod as two-stranded rod, and we apply the theory of elastic rod on each rod, plus we have to take care of the interaction, or we can use the average structure plus the microstructure parameters, which is here the W, which gives me how far from this point I have to go to get to the plus strand, and how far to go to the opposite side to go to the other strand, and similarly for the rotation P, which is what is the rotation tensor that I have to apply to the cross section to get at the average structure to get the rotation tensor at the plus or minus strand. Yes, we'll elastic. So we'll talk about that. Yes. So now, as just the question in time, that we are going to make the hypothesis that we have hyper-elastic material, so that the energy density, or we use the term action, is proportional, depends on the parameter, the configuration parameters, plus the their first derivative. So it's a simple material, and it's elastic, that we don't have terms that depends on viscosity, on velocities, or something like this. So the we have action density, which depends on S and T, and also on the configuration parameters, plus their first derivative. So it's a simple material. The I mean, I will talk about how I will will get to this energy. Actually, it's you can do it. You can you can make the hypothesis that, for example, this energy is quadratic in some quantities, or and then you fit with experimental data, or so it's a constitutive problem. So these parameters, configuration parameters R and big R, are the macro configuration variables, and the W and P and their derivatives are micro kinematical variable. Now we need to modify, because we are dealing with quantities that lies on a manifold, we need to modify the variable. Instead of using P and PS, PT, we will use the variables related to the vector eta of the rotation tensor P. And for that, we have a modified energy. Then, if we use the principle of Euclidean invariance, we will see that this energy has to be independent of the time t of the position vector r, and also its dependence through the vector r depends only on some reduced variables. The reduced variables are actually the component in the local basis, or local frame, of the original variables. Then if we do that, then we have another reduced energy which depends on these reduced variables, and we make the classical assumption that the kinetic energy is separated from the potential energy. So we have the total energy is in separated form. Then if we use Hamilton principles of least action, then this is the first means that the first variation of the action density must vanish, and since we are on a not on a linear space, we are on a manifold, the classical Euler equation becomes Euler Lagrange equation becomes Euler Poincaré equations, and we obtain these four sets of equation. Now, if we identify terms, we make the hypothesis that the rod is hyperelastic, so that the forces and moments are derivative with respect of the energy with respect to the strain variables. Then we can see that this variable is the net force applied at each cross section, the internal force applied at each cross section, and this one is the net moment, etc. And this gives us an idea on how to make the constitutive assumption. So using the variation formulation, we get for free the equation of motion and the type of constitutive equation that we want. So if we make the constitutive hypothesis that, for example, the force is equal R times dW over dV, and the moment is equal to dW over dU, similarly for the linear momentum and angular momentum, and for the microstructure variables, we have the conjugate to the kinematic microstructure variables. We have the microforce and the micromoment. And we have now, we have given this quantitative equation. Then if we replace them in the four set of equations that we obtained from Hamiltonian principle, we get what we call the equation of motion. And we see that the first two equations that we get are exactly the equation of motion of an elastic rod without any microstructure. And the second set of equations gives us the balance laws or equation of motion of the microstructure variables. You might say that these are uncoupled to these, but it is not so, because we have here terms that depends, that couples these two last equations to the first equation. So to complete, so here are, for example, if we have an elastic rod, then we know how to derive. If we assume quadratic energies, then we can have the net force, net moment, etc. But it remains to have this F and C, which are F is the interaction force between the two strands. We say that the two strands are glued together elastically, so this F is this force, and this C is a couple, is a distributed couple, which links the orientation of the one strand to the orientation of the other strand. Now, so this is, we did the variation formulation just with adding two microstructure variables, but now we are going to give the interpretation of this microstructure variable as departure from the average structure to the plus or minus strand. Then we'll get some additional or decoupling, that the total momentum is the sum of the momentum on the plus strand and the momentum on the minus strand. Similarly, the net force also is the sum of the net force on the plus strand and the net force on the negative strand. For the moment, we have to add these quantities, which is the lever arm times the microstructure force, n plus minus n minus, which is this NC, what we call the NC for coupling or coserat. And now we have these two equations, which gives us the force which relates the force of the interacting elastic force to the microstructure variable W, which is the distance between the two, the average strand and the plus or minus strand. And for the couple, it is also, we have to add this term, which is because of we are adding moments, and we have to add moments. We have, when we add two moments at different points, we have to, we need to add the lever arm times the force. Now, as she pointed, the one speaker pointed out, what kind of, how do I choose this constitutive equations? For example, if we are concerned with linearly elastic rods, then if we take the energy quadratic and the strain variables, and we use the constitutive equation, then we need, then we get linearly elastic constitutive equation. For example, here the net force or the net momentum is equal rho times the time derivative of the position vector, And the, for the microstructure momentum, we get also it's rho times WT. For the angular momentum, we get linear, or we get a tensor which is symmetric, definite, positive, times the some parameters related to the angular moment, to the macro angular momentum and micro angular momentum. Similarly, for the net force and net moment. So these are the constitutive equation that we should use to get linear elastic rod with single-stranded or double-stranded. When we have a single-stranded, then every quantity with C should be equal to zero, and we get the classical single-strand rod. Here now, from this we can get, so we close the system by constitutive equation. We can get differential equations to solve, and it is not easy to get to solve this equation in analytic form. But here is a simple example. If we take two strands that are straight in their initial or a stress-free configuration, and we glue them together, then we can bend them, these two strands, we can bend them to form a circle, and there are two states of this double, or what we call bi-ring, a double ring, is that there is one with a low strain energy when we bend these two in the plane perpendicular to the and the plane which is when we bend them on in this plane, and we get a high energy solution equilibrium equation when we bend them on the other direction. In such case, we have one strand is stretched and the other one is compressed. Now we have been looking for these are simple two-dimensional solutions. We also looked for localized solution, planar solutions that we consider infinite rods with which we glue them together, and then we are looking for traveling wave solutions and localized solution. We found that there are some localized solution and periodic solutions, and some of these solution or the equations that we get are close to some equation that people use to study and the study of the structure under elastic foundations, etc. And this is an ongoing work. Now we also we have the problem of to get where to get these physical parameters, and we are using molecular dynamics to get all the atom the whole atomistic description of DNA, and then we post process this to get some elastic constants, and then we'll use them in this model to study DNA. And especially the main problem of DNA is, as you said, we want to study DNA opening, and we are far from doing that because of two problems. This constitutive equation that we considered are linearly elastic. We should take care of that the strands cannot interpenetrate, so we have to have unilateral constitutive equations. And the next thing is also we need to, these are elastic, so we need, if we are going to study opening, we need to study some, to use some fracture mechanics or other type of things so that we can probe the DNA opening and study the configuration of DNA in any states of opening. Is the time over or? Okay, so probably I will stop at this stage.